Blog Talk Radio.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers.
I wish I could live in a fantasy world where everything just makes believe. Where nothing is wrong in the words of my song. Your love is all that I ever need. When I turn to the time that my heart wasn't mine, baby, I'm lost, lost, lost in my own reality. But all you got to do is, baby, hold on to me. When I'm not that free, your love is all that I need.
Lofty words from my brother, Dr. King. Lofty words. But it seems they're falling on deaf ears when it comes to those that run things in this country. And also, a vast majority of those who are universal white race supremacists. And let me make something clear to you. Yam Suf is not saying all white people are universal white race supremacists. But I will say this, the option is available if you want to be. So I don't make any apologies for telling the truth if you're looking for one. And as I said, Dr. King, words were very lofty. That's about the gist of it. This is the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yam Suf Arif. On this show, we do reconstruction. We do reverse engineering. We do everything that's humanly possible to do to get a complete understanding of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what mistakes were made by our founding fathers that severed that relationship? And how can we reconnect with that relationship? Not only reconnect with that relationship, improve upon it. That's what the premise of the Real Talk for Real People show is about. It's all about relationship people. And also that relationship, just to position it, can apply to one another, seeing that we don't know anything about relationship. That's why we kill one another in our communities. We hate anything that remotely looks like us, and we don't mind killing it. Write a song about it, too. A rap song, make $1 million. See, those are the avenues left open for us to make money. Killing one another. Yes, when we see each other, the hackles rise on our necks like pit bulls. We start growling and foaming at the mouth and so on and so forth. Then you see another brother or sister, a baby, a grandparent dead. Yes, it can improve your relationship, and we need total improvement as far as our relationship, because we accept anything. We accept anything without question. Oh, yeah, we used to kill each other. That's what we do. You know, I said something a long time ago on this show, but I stand by what I said. If a fish doesn't realize that it's born in toxic water, it doesn't realize. It's just the way it is. It's what we do. And certainly we are born into this toxic environment. And that's who we are and what we do. But that doesn't make it right. So, yes, we do need improvement upon relationships in regards to one another. And also, and last but not least, we need to improve upon our relationship with different nations. See, we don't have a constructive and healthy relationship with nobody. Certainly, if we don't have one with each other, we certainly don't have a constructive and healthy relationship with other nations. So, yes, this can help improve upon that. Those nations who are willing to have a constructive and improve relationship with us. Those that don't waste your time. Those that don't want to have a constructive relationship with you, don't waste your time. But those that want to, allow them that opportunity. That's all I'm saying. But before we get started in our study, my fellow lead student and I, Cartrailer, we're lead students. We're here to assist you and direct you in the right direction in these studies. But before Katria, my dear brother and friend from New York, and I get started, you know, I like to make some comments on contemporary subject matters. Simone Biles, she decided to leave the little beautiful little sister gymnast. She decided to leave the Olympics for mental illness. You know, the little Japanese sister, she bad. Osaka, I believe. I don't know if she's going to do anything, but she's back. You know, these sisters are under a lot of trauma in these Greek festivals with their little skimpy outfits, and they go through a lot of trauma. And I understand mental illness. I have it in my family. And I, truth be told, we're all affected by mental illness. Yeah, I'm sued too. Our thinkers are broken. We're traumatized. You got to understand this. We're born into trauma. We're born into this conflict. And so understandably, we are traumatized people. Katja like to say we are broken people. And I have to concur with him on that matter. But as I said, Sister Simone, she said she had to withdraw because her mind wasn't in it. I don't blame all the sisters on people. It ain't going to do anything for you in the long run anyway. Improve upon your relationship with the great Almighty. That's one thing for certain. So please your apprentices, but it don't do much for your relationship with Yah. I can attest to that. That's why we study. Another reason. And last but not least, I watched the ongoings with the testimony with the four officers. Officer Dunn, the brother. Officer Godell, Dominican Republic brother. Officer Fanon. And Officer Hodges. I listened to them attentively. You know, one thing I found about all four of these men, if you've ever been traumatized, you know traumatized people. They had what you call a thousand-yard stare. Not like they're not looking directly at you. They're looking beyond you. And that's what I noticed about them. These men were traumatized. And you can see it in their eyes. You can see that thousand-yard stare that these men had. And as I said, I've been a victim of trauma. And you know your kind when you see your kind, meaning people that have been through things that you have been through, you can see it in them immediately. And I think, truth be told, if Joe Biden, Smokey Joe, loved him so much, he ought to invite him to the White House to show his love for them. I don't even think they've been invited to the White House to show his appreciation for them holding the line for him. And I listened to, you know, what took me by Officer Gonell, the Dominican Republic brother. He said, let me paraphrase it, because I can't rightly remember what he said, but it's to this effect. We were assaulted by the hugs and kisses that they bestowed upon us, you know, with Donald Trump. You know how Donald Trump died. Oh, I just saw, it was like a Woodstock. They was just walking around kissing and throwing flowers and having sex and everything. It was just like the second coming of Woodstock. So, Gonell said, well, you know, I've been traumatized by those kisses and hugs that they gave us. I like that. I like that, brother, Gonell. You know, he originally started from the Dominican Republic. And Fanon, he hit the table. So it was an insult. The way that these folks in Congress are denying what happened, he slammed the table as an insult to my fellow officers, what we went through. Lying, talking about, like nothing had ever existed. They sure beat the brakes off Fanon. They knocked him out, too. They knocked him the hell out. And poor Hodges, they had him whizzed through the door. Hodges was talking. Hodges was saying, you know, the way they assaulted him and whatnot, and tore his mask off, and, you know, just trying to gorge out his eye. Man, there wasn't no love pass they would give him. And poor Officer Dunn said, it was the first time, I listened to him carefully. Officer Dunn said it was the first time he was called a nigger in that uniform. He didn't say it was the first time he was called a nigger, but it was the first time he was called a nigger in that Capitol uniform. I could have told him they would call him nigger whenever they feel like it. Oh, they probably called him a nigger behind his back, but probably not verbally as he said. And I feel sorry because he had that thousand-yard stare. And I got love for my brothers in the, you know, the Gonell, the Dominican Republic, Don. I feel sorry for them. I could feel what they went through. Even Fanon and Hodges, I could feel their pain. So what I would say to Smokey Joe Biden, Smokey, you need to invite these men to the White House to tell them thank you for taking their ass whoopings and holding their line for you to be in office. I think they would gladly appreciate that, okay? I mean, y'all talking about how much y'all love and then so on and so forth and whatnot. Smokey Joe, won't you invite the men to the White House and show you love, okay? Now, that's what I would do if I was in your shoes, but I ain't going to never be in your shoes. So, but that's what I would do, show my love, okay? All right. My dear brother and friend, Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise and honor to the Most High, the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you and your family also.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
But a lot going on today, huh?
Yeah, it is, brother.
I didn't get a chance to see that testimony.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you missed a good one.
I'm sure it was like heartfelt.
Yeah, it was. It was.
And guys put their lives on the line for people that didn't really appreciate what they were really doing for them. Because they could have just let the people walk in and do what they wanted to do, right?
Truth be told, country. Truth be told.
But they did their job, which is what was expected of them. And the fact that these people who supposedly call themselves United States citizens would go to the brink rioting in the Capitol building shows how torn apart this country really is.
Exactly.
But you're speaking about our relationships, and our relationships are broken because we walking around with amnesia, Stockholm syndrome, mental illness, post-traumatic slave syndrome, and we ain't got nobody trying to heal us. So the fact that we walking around in amnesia, we don't respect or know the value of one another, which is why it's so easy for brothers to shoot another brother. But we are the Most High's treasure. If we really knew who we were, we would value each other more. And the fact that Simone Biles is a representative of our people first and foremost. That it's her that United States or America put out there as, you know, the strength and, you know, the symbol of what America is. And she's like, nah, I can't take that. All this pressure on me, I'm backing down. And it shows how much power we have as a people. That the country, this country, put all their hope and faith in her coming through to win some gold medal in these Greek games. That she's symbolic of the strength and the power that we give to America as a people, but they don't acknowledge it.
Yeah. I agree with you on that, Kadri. They don't appreciate it. Take it all for granted.
So just like she withdrew from that competition. If we withdrew from Babylon, or if we withdrew from the slavery and went back home, it would be just like, you know, this situation here. All the air would be taken out of this country.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
They wouldn't have the same appeal to the world.
No, the same aura wouldn't be there anymore. He'd just be just like Australia, England, so dull, old-looking country. Old, dull-looking, low country, you know. True, country, true.
It'd be just like Australia because Australia's on fire, too.
Yeah, it is. It is. Oh, there you go, the Buzz Boys, country, the Buzz Boys.
And they'll always come through right on time, though.
They talk about y'all. Get on the mic.
I heard the Buzz Boys all day long until right now.
Yeah, that's what they do, man. That's what they do. All right, Contreras, if you're done, I'm done with my commentary, Contreras. If not, we'll wait on you. Hold the press. If you are, we will.
Yeah. The sister, Naomi Osaka, you mentioned
her. Yeah, Osaka, that's her name. Show you.
Naomi Osaka.
Osaka.
And she's she's mixed with Japanese and Haitian.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how that combination came together. But it don't matter. It came together.
She's a cutie pie.
A Haitian brother and a Japanese woman. They got together.
Yeah.
Producing superstar. And she's in Japan. I'm sure she's going through pressure because she's not 100% Japanese.
Exactly.
So I would hope, you know, that our brothers and sisters in Japan, you know, were treated with respect, you know, and love.
Right.
But
she's a cutie pie.
Huh?
I said she's a cutie pie.
And she's awesome. She got skills, man.
Yeah, she got skills. I wouldn't want to get on.
Serena, you be Serena and Venus, yeah. That stuff.
Bro,
yeah, she's good.
I wouldn't want to get on the court with the little girl. Okay.
Oh, she would destroy you, man. Come on.
Hey, why you got to get ugly with me, Katya? I hurt my feelings.
Nah, she's a professional. That's what she does 8 hours a day. What you doing? You ain't picked up a tennis racket since 1974. But I heard Dr. Martin Luther King on that song you played.
Yo.
I wanted to make mention of that. And you know what? When you played that song and his voice came up, it gave me a flashback to the times we were living in when he was speaking like that.
Exactly.
And I said to myself, damn, 2021 is worse than it was when he was speaking like that.
You ain't lying, bro. You ain't lying.
We ain't got no brothers like him.
Mm-mm.
Nor do we have our people rallying behind someone like him.
Exactly.
Like back in the days, but we're still fighting for the same thing that he was fighting for. And it's even worse.
It's even worse. I agree with you. It's even worse.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Contreras, for pointing that out to us. Very appreciate it. And you're right. It's even worse. Well, fellow students, and my lead student, Contreras, let's get busy. Let's turn to Second Chronicles, first chapter. Let's see how it's always good to reconnect. How it's always good to go back and make reconnections, reconstructions, what we're trying to do on the Real Talk for Real People show. You get it? Let's get ready. May the Most High bless
you. As a matter of fact, we're exposing what they've hidden
exactly
about our history. Why don't they teach this? How come our people don't know this? They love the Bible. But they don't know nothing about King David, King Solomon, or the judges, or nothing about what we read.
Well, they should, Katya.
They definitely should.
They should.
It's right there.
It is right here. Open book Texas, Katya. Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Katya. Fellow students, Katya, my other lead student, may the Most High bless us. And most importantly, may we apply our studies in our lives. King Solomon, son of King Dawood, took firm hold of his kingdom, for Yah, his Elohim, was with him. That's how he had firm hold, and made him, in conjunction with that, he made him exceedingly great. King Solomon summoned all of Israel, the officers of 1,000, of 100s, the judges, and all the princes of all Israel, the heads of the tribes. Then King Solomon and all the assemblies with him, they went to the shrine at Gibeon for the tent of the tabernacle, which Moses, the servant of Yah, had made in the wilderness, was there to reconnect. But the ark of Yah, King David had brought up from Kirjath-Jearim, the tent of the tabernacle was there, but the ark was somewhere else, which King David had brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which King David had prepared for it. But he had pitched the tent for it in Jerusalem. He didn't want that big tent there. He set up a small tent for it in Jerusalem. The bronze altar which Bezalel. Now, let me correct that. I don't know how big that tent was. I just can't see King David leaving the tent of the tabernacle and pitching a little pup tent. No, that wasn't King David thing. Wherever King David had brought that Ark of the Covenant to, I'm pretty sure it was quite humongous, okay? Which Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, had made the bronze altar, was also there before the tent of the tabernacle. And King Solomon and the assemblies resorted to it. They went to it where that bronze altar was in the tent of the tabernacle. There King Solomon ascended the bronze altar before Yah. he ascended the stairs upon the burnt altar, which it was at the tent of the tabernacle. On it, he sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, Yah appeared to King Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I grant you? King Solomon said to Yah, you have dealt most graciously with my father. King Solomon said, King David, now you have made me king in this day. Now, O Yah Elohim, let your promise to my father, King David, be fulfilled, completed. For you have made me king over people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Grant me then, here's what he wanted. Listen to what he asked for. And some of y'all need to emulate what when you ask y'all for stuff. Stop asking for to win the lottery and all that other stuff. You know, let me win the state lottery. Let me get a new car. Let me get a fine wife. You know, he didn't ask for none of that. Check out what he asked.
But how about this?
Uh-huh.
Yah asked him what he wanted.
Exactly.
And King Solomon threw it back on him. It's not what I want. You've been working with my father.
Right.
You set me up. It's really about what you want.
Me to have. What's best for me. So he shoots back at him. He shoots it back at Yah. He said, okay, grant me the wisdom and the knowledge to lead this people. And that's what you ought to be saying, brothers and sisters. Grant me the wisdom and knowledge to be able to understand what you're saying in your words and to be able to express it to my brothers and sisters when I need to and when I'm called upon to, you know. And then what I think an addition he should have asked for, knowing this after the fact, what happened with King Solomon, that he should have asked for a new heart and spirit, just like his father had. He should have asked for a new heart and spirit, just like his father had. And I think that would have helped increase the wisdom and understanding. Because he had all the book sense, but it didn't seem like he had no common sense. Yeah, King Solomon had all the wisdom and understanding. He had all the book sense in the world. But he didn't have common sense like his daddy. And I think that's where he lost out with these women. Because why are you gonna talk to Yah like that? You gonna talk to Yah, give me wisdom and understanding. And then you gonna go right and let all them women lead you to all them different gods. Man, come on now. So I think it should have been a common, and we all should be like this. Yeah, get that wisdom and understanding. Get everything you need on that. But you need to be asking for a new spirit and a new heart, just like King David. That was humble, that was obedient, that loved the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and his brothers and sisters as himself, and that thirst after righteousness. Because even if you got wrong, you try to get right back right. Yeah, he had all the book sense, but he didn't have no common sense. That's why them women led him astray. He's a good king hold on, Contrail. I love him now. I love Mr. King Solomon. He got by right at the end. But he didn't have everything that it took to be king, to be a good king, like his dad. I'm going to just put it on out there. Go ahead, Contrail.
If you got 700 women coming after you, you might lose your common sense too.
Yeah, well, I love him. But he should have prayed for a new heart and spirit like his dad. His daddy did it after, Contrail, his daddy did it after one woman got him messed up.
Again, you got 700 plus women coming after you. You might lose your common sense too.
Contrail, and I'm going to say this. His daddy had good sense. He knew one woman came at him and almost got him messed up. He didn't want no more trouble with y'all.
But I'm going to tell you.
He got some gat right, okay? Go ahead, Graduate.
Although you say King Solomon lost it, he was sure writing down some notes about these women. What do you say? It's better to dwell on a desert land than the house of a contentious woman.
Yeah,
he's breaking it down, yo.
He kept notes. Oh, Lord, I got to go to the rooftop. But he's really getting on my nerve.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I tell you about some women. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's sitting there in Songs of Solomon and the Book of Proverbs, which we're going back over again. He shall tell you about them women, folks.
Oh, boy.
He says,
You ever had 700 women chasing you, Yasu?
Man, I wouldn't want 7 after me, okay?
But they had that kind of charisma, man.
Listen, this dude,
yo, he had the Queen of Ethiopia come see him.
Yeah, gotcha.
How you do that? How you get the Queen of Ethiopia
But I ain't knocking me. I ain't knocking my flavor. I'm just saying this, gotcha. I'm not knocking my flavor. Yum Soup got it like that. It's supposed to be looking at Yum Soup like that. So Yum Soup got the flavor, but some Yum Soup is vaguely not interested, okay? Cause I'm going to tell you why. I don't need no whole lot of trouble with no whole lot of women, okay? I don't need no whole lot of problems with a whole lot of women with Western concept thinking, okay? I don't need the problems, okay?
He seems to come to that same conclusion, too, but I think he came to it a little too late.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need them troubles, bro. Look at, I'm gonna tell you, Katya. I like sex well as the next man. If I had a wife, I liked it when Robin was here. God bless her soul, but she passed away in 2011. I like sex well as the next man. But look at, but I'm not no love machine. Okay.
Nah.
You know, like that song. I'm just a love machine. And I can't express my banana. I ain't no love machine, dog. I can't just go to work like that. I got to have some feeling. You know, I got to have some connection. I can't say my turn. What you mean your turn? Well, I'm your second wife. You got to put in work. Hold on. I can't do it like that, Katya. I can't do it. I'm just a love machine. And I can't work for nobody but you. I can't do it.
Well,
I just don't have that inclination.
Some of us got it. Some of us don't.
Yeah,
I ain't saying I got it.
I ain't got it.
There's some brothers out there that the women will chase.
More power to them. I ain't hate now. Don't say Yum Soup hate on what you do. Yum Soup don't have the time nor inclination, okay?
Yo, you grew up with me. And when the Jackson 5 busted on the scene, it was like, Dad, these guys gonna take all the women.
Yeah.
It's like all the girls in my block, they was like Jackson 5 crazy.
Yeah.
My sister had every piece on her wall with Jermaine Jackson, Michael Jackson, and Tito, and Randy. I'm like, damn, your room looked like a museum or something.
But see, here's the deal, and I'm gonna say contrary, and I'm gonna tell you why. You know, I had that popularity that they had in the Jackson. I had that popularity with the girls, and they would come, and they would say, I used to hate it. You know how Al Green looked when Al Green
was. Al Green.
He looked 20. He was a young guy. He was 20-something years. He had the Afro and everything. Yeah. So the girls in high school said, Ron Killam, which my slave name. They said, you look like Al Green. And man, they started, man, I hated it. And the girl would say, Al Green. And I had so many girls run to me trying to date me and whatnot, fighting over me. And come on, bro, I wouldn't even press with all that. But look, I finally figured it's something out, Cartrill. And I said, hold on, wait just a minute. All these girls running up to me, talking about, you look like Al Green. And I don't see them running up to my other classmates. So I said, I got in with it, Cottrell. I said, love.
Oh, so now we know the roots of where you started singing that.
Hey, Leah, I got in where I fit in, bro. They said, I agree. I said, love.
It happened, man.
For sure,
love you
bro.
Make you do wrong.
Love you make you do right. Make it come on, man.
I used to hate Al Green. I didn't like his style.
I didn't either.
Give me Smokey.
Yeah.
Give me
Eddie
Kendrick.
I didn't like it. And I, when I only got older, I could appreciate his music, but in the 70s, I couldn't stand the cat. I thought he was too soft for me, you know.
He whining James Brown screaming.
Yeah, I was more like, but I was more like the smooth type singers, you know, like the shot like, have you seen her? Tell me, have you seen her? Marvin Gaye, let's get it on.
Trust me.
Oh, baby.
King David could blow. The King David could sing. That was one of his attributes.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the women heard King David sing, you know, come on, man. It's like Smokey Robinson or somebody.
Yeah. So, I was more like my boy Marvin Gaye and Isley Brothers, you know. And,
Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah, that's what I was digging on. The Spinners, you know.
The Intruders, Starlight, the Dell.
OJs, right, the Dell. Yeah, I was like that. Yeah, I was like smooth with my Mac, man. I was smooth with my Mac, you know. I thought I was. I was rusted in a rusty nail.
You can't imagine how good these singers were because they were professionals in ancient times.
Yeah, they were professionals.
They trained. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
The best of the best.
Well, I do digress.
They were famous for it. Yeah.
Right. Well, I do digress, and I do apologize. And I know y'all didn't come to hear about Cottrell and I talking about Al Green. And so we do apologize, and we will continue on in our studies. I mean, come on now. You know, it be like that sometimes. Y'all still love us. We're going to get the message across to you, okay?
But the funny thing is, we mentioned all of that, and we talked about Dr. Martin Luther King at the same time, because that was happening, too.
Exactly. So we dropped some knowledge on you. We dropped some knowledge. And he says, grant me the wisdom and the knowledge to lead this people. For who can govern your great people?
Oh, boy.
Yah said, because they are difficult. Yah said to King Solomon, because you want this. You have not asked for wealth, property, or glory. Nor have you asked for the life of your enemy, a long life for yourself. But you've asked for the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to govern my people over whom I have made you king.
Perfect request.
Okay. What's the contrary?
I said that's the perfect request.
It is. And he said, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. And in addition, I will also grant you wealth, something you didn't ask for, property and glory, the lack of which no king before you has had, nor shall any after you have. Ain't no king going to ever be like you, King Solomon. He said he going to make you a superstar among kings, which he did. From the strides of Gibeon, from the tent of the tabernacle, King Solomon went to Jerusalem and reigned over Israel. King Solomon assembled chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots, fighting chariots, and 1,200 war horses. He stationed him in the chariot towns and with the king in Jerusalem. There were some chariots. The king made silver and gold as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones and cedars as plentiful as sycamores and the shephela. King Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt in Kew. Kew was a place that was well known for making these blood lineage horses, fighting horses. The king's traders would buy them from Kew at market price. A chariot imported from Mizraim cost 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. These were then exported by them. See, yeah, this man was smart. He took a business and became the middleman. He took a business and became the middleman and exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Arameans and the Syrians. And now you wonder why the Syrians and people like them became Arabia's horses, that lineage. Well, they got it from King Solomon. Okay. Then King Solomon resolved to build a house for the name of the Elohim and a royal palace for himself. King Solomon mustered 70,000 basket carriers, 80,000 couriers in the hills, with 3,600 men supervising them. King Solomon sent this message to King Hiram of Tyre. In view of what you did for my father, King David, and sending him cedars to build a palace for his residence. See, I intend to build a house for the name of Yah, my Elohim. I will dedicate it to him for making incense and offering of sweet spices in his honor, for the roll, regular roll of bread, and for the morning and evening burnt offerings. On Sabbaths, new moons, and festivals, as is Israel's eternal duty. That's our eternal duty, to praise Yah. The house that I intend to build will be great, insomuch as our Elohim is greater than all gods.
So,
who
so,
is he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You in the second chapter?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You didn't make the transition though.
Oh, I just started
first.
Oh, yes, I did. I said the horses there in turn were exported by them to the kings of the Hittites, and the kings of the Arameans, Syrians. Yeah,
now,
I did
want to make a brief comment about King Solomon, because he's a teenager. He's like 13, 14 years old at this
going
point
on
in time. When he
right.
asked for his wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And as a 14-year-old, he grew up to be a great king.
He certainly did.
He started out young.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how wise he was to make Israel a nation of merchants and traders.
Exactly. Yeah, he made them exporters. He didn't make them be beggars and begging folks, unlike we are today. We're not exporting anything. We're begging for anything.
And the fact that his wisdom led him to so much gold that it was as plenty as a stone, that's ridiculous.
It was so much going. Everybody had it like that, player. Everybody had it going on.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, yeah, you made a rough transition to the second chapter. You went right into it.
No.
So go ahead.
Okay. Verse 5 of chapter 2.
Right.
Who indeed is capable of building a house for him? Even the heavens to uttermost reaches cannot contain him. He can't be contained by anything. Who am I that I should build him a house?
So, now, Sue, the house that King Solomon is building for Yah, what are we supposed to do at this house?
We're supposed to praise Yah.
He said, it's for the showbread, the continual showbread, the
mm-hmm.
sweet incense, the burnt
mm-hmm.
offerings, morning
mm-hmm.
and evening,
right.
Shabbat, new moon,
mm-hmm.
and the solemn feast of Yah, our Elohim. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. This is just one house. It's not like a house in every tribe or a house wherever you want to build it. This was the central place. It's like the Vatican. Everybody had to go to the Vatican of Israel, which is Jerusalem, which is where the temple and the tabernacle were, to observe these holy convocations, as they are called. You couldn't just do it anywhere.
At this one spot, yeah.
Exactly.
And it says, except as a place for making burnt offerings to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, send me a craftsman to work in gold, silver, bronze, and iron. In addition, in purple, crimson, and blue yarn. And who knows how to engrave alongside the craftsman. I have here in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom my father, King David, provided. Send me cedars, cypress, algum wood from Lebanon, for I know that your servants are skilled in cutting the trees of Lebanon, their tree cutters. My servant will work with yours to provide me with a great stock of timber, for the house that I intend to build will be singularly one singularly great. I have allotted it for your servants, the woodcut. I have allotted for your servants, the woodcutters, who fell the trees, 20,000 core of crushed wheat, and 20,000 core of barley, 20,000 bath of wine, and 20,000 bath of oil. King Haran of Tyre sent King Solomon this written message in reply. That's a good relationship they got going on. This man of a different nation. Respectful.
Helping to build a temple.
Exactly. Building relationships with different nations who want to have a relationship with you. It's not bad. And respect your Elohim. Because y'all loved his people, he made you king over them. King Herod continued, blessed is Yah, Elohim of Israel, who made the heavens, he acknowledged, in the earth, who gave King David a wise son, endowed with intelligence and understanding to build a house for the Elohim and a royal palace for himself. Now I'm sending you a skilled and intelligent man, my master builder. I'm sending you my master builder. Haran, he is a son of a Danite woman. He's from one of your tribes. His mother is a Danite. His father, a Tyrian. He's skilled at working in gold, bronze, iron, precious stone. This boy is a master. This man is a master. In wood, in purple, in blue, in crimson yarn, and in fine linen. And at engraving, designing whatever will be required of him alongside your craftsmen and the craftsmen of my lord, your King David. As to the wheat, barley, and oil, and wine, which my lord mentioned, let him send them to his servants. I don't need them. We undertake to cut down as many trees of Lebanon as you need and deliver them to you as raft by rafts, by sea as Jaffa. You will transport them from Jaffa to Jerusalem. King Solomon took a census of the aliens. Now, he had a right to do that. He took a census of the different nations who were in the land of Israel, besides the census taken by his father, King David. In the land, different nations were found to be 153,000. 600. He made 70,000 of them basket carriers and 80,000 of them couriers, 3,600 supervisors to see that the people worked. And believe you me, he didn't mistreat them. He paid them. But they were in the land. They had an opportunity to leave the land. They could have left. They could have left. But they wanted to stay. So he said, well, you know, y'all going to stay. Y'all got to put in work. And they obviously agreed. And they put 3,600 folks over and make sure they work now. Because I got to get this done. Contreras, what say you, my brother and friend?
We can see that the temple was built not just by Israelites from the 12 tribes, but by other nations as well.
Exactly.
And they had lumberjacks and loggers.
Right.
So that's not a new skill.
It's an ancient skill.
Which I'm sure they was very proficient at, taking on those precious trees and then using them as timber to build that temple. And it's amazing that even Hiram the king could see that the God of Israel was the God that created the heavens and the earth, that he would acknowledge that.
Right.
And that another startling thing was that a daughter from the tribe of Dan married one of the Tyrians, and their son was a master artist or master craftsman in all different crafts, and they were willing to work together. So we work with other people. It ain't just exclusively about Israel.
Right.
Most of loves other nations too when they act right.
Right.
And he accepts their work.
Mm-hmm.
So these slaves that King Solomon had were not treated like we were treated here in America.
No, bro. Or even Harold said, send it to them. They weren't starving, Marvin. They ate rather well, if you ask me. And I'm pretty sure the king paid them for the labor.
Yeah. They had that kind of money.
Yeah.
Or that gold. Why not?
And from my understanding, from what we've studied, that these men didn't work on a continuum basis. If King Solomon treated them the way he treated us, they worked in shifts. Every 3 months, they would rotate in. He was a fair man, but I suspect that he treated them rather well, and he knew that they had families, so he rotated them in probably to work in shifts. One month on, 2 months off. 1 month on, 2 months off. Okay. What do you think,
Kyle?
Yeah.
You're talking about a 14-year-old king, right?
Right.
Do you think our people today would listen to a 14-year-old king?
They would listen to a 41-year-old king.
My point exactly. Like, that nigga 14? Oh, hell no.
Yeah. That nigga 41?
Attitude today.
Yeah, that nigga 41? Oh, hell no. It's always going to be a reason. Okay.
14, and he had the command of the whole nation.
Right.
People jumped when he spoke. Because he still had that headbanger, Joab.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't listening to King Solomon? Yo, let's got to go see Joab, son.
You better be jumping. You got good reason to jump.
Yep. Because not only was King Solomon given charge by his father, King David, but you got to remember, King David charged the people that were around him too, right?
Right.
He was like, y'all got to help my son.
Yeah.
You got to swear to me you're going to help him.
Right. The magistrates around him was there to support him. The military troops. The judges.
All the chief people. Everybody.
The elders. Everybody was, they agreed. They gave their word.
They was behind this 14-year-old.
Right.
And if everybody he wasn't, he was in trouble.
Because everybody gave their word, you know.
And guess what? He proved himself wise, didn't he? When the two prostitutes came and one brought their baby forth and said that the other one took her baby because her baby died.
Yeah,
they told me a story.
Yeah, one of them tried to run a scam on it.
Yeah.
He wasn't going. He saw through that.
Oh, yeah. And they were shocked. Bring a sword? Yeah, bring me a sword. Cut the baby in half. And give half to her and half to the other one.
Right. He knew the real mother was going to go for that.
Right. No, don't cut him in half. Give the boy to her. Let him live. He knew the mother would say that.
Oh, that's what a real mother would say.
That's right.
I don't know about nowadays, Cartier. These mothers have changed.
Yeah. Yeah, cut him in half. Give her half. I'll take half.
Shut up, buddy. Oh, yeah, all right, y'all. Me and Katya have been digressing today because we missed out yesterday, so we doubled down on today. Katya was ready. I wasn't. And Katya don't have to give you an apology. I don't really have to give you one either, but I will. The Most High told me to take me an extra day. I wanted to come on. I felt bored. I kept saying, call Contrail before it get too late, around about 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And I said, pray to Yah. Yah said, no, man. Sit down. You'll be all right. So I sit down. I want to come on so bad. I miss y'all too, okay? All right. And we're waiting right now for my brother and dear friend from New York. I was starting to say Shatan from New York, Contrail, to bring us another lovely studies, the songs of our dear King Dawood.
Yes, sir, from Cell Block 1055
Bo. I'm from Cell Block 901. Yeah.
We in Psalms 46.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get an update. I don't want you mum to catch that time, but you did it. Let me get an update. We've been going there. Let me see. Let me look at that. Hey, Avia, can you give me an update? That look familiar. But, hey, Avia, I've been having a problem, Contrail, with a phone. Now with a phone, with a carrier. You know, I'm putting that woman business. I'm putting that woman business all out in the street like that, man. Contrail, I offer you my let me finish, man. I offer you my sincerest apology.
No apology necessary.
Thank you, Contrail. I offer you my sincerest apology. Thank you, Abby.
Chapter 47. Our great king, King David. Yes.
Go ahead, brother. I'm ready. We ready.
He always gives us a way to give exaltation and glory and praise to our king, because we know he wrote these songs. So he had a lot of songs in the repertoire, like most great singers do. Stevie Wonder, he's got records and songs he ain't even put out in the public. They say the same thing about Prince and Michael Jackson. They got songs that ain't even been heard by the public. So we know people that are inspired, musically inclined, they do a lot of writing, a lot of, you know, creative.
Just like they said, Prince got so many songs that in the vault, man, we'll never
hear. You know,
So
King David follows that same trend, because there's probably more songs that he wrote that we're not reading.
And we don't have all of King Solomon's writing. I bet you that. You know what I mean, Contrail? I bet you we don't have all of King Solomon's writings.
Well, we read about some of the books. The book of Gad got stories about King David, and the book of, Nathan?
Yeah.
We ain't seen them books. Where them books at?
Yeah, where them books at, Gad and Nathan? We don't have everything.
Nah, not at all. Fragmented pieces.
Yeah.
We got enough, though, to get us back on track.
We got enough.
Can't say we don't have enough.
Yeah, we got enough, Contrail. Keep it on track. Keep it on point.
So, King David's trying to get our minds on point. And what did he tell us to do? Because these are antidotes to our situation, no matter what situation we're in.
Right.
And we give thanks and praise to the Most High Yah, the Holy One Israel. We bless his holy name for our King, King David, who he created like he created us. He's our creator, our father, our king.
Hallelujah.
Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout out to Elohim with the voice of triumph. For Yah, Most High, is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue people under us and the nation under our feet. So we ain't got to worry about our situation right now, because we under everybody else's foot. They got their boot in our necks, huh?
Yeah.
God said, don't worry about it. He going to subdue them. They talking about going to another planet because the earth is going to be destroyed in a little while. No, the earth is going to be here forever. Y'all gotta make sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
He shall choose our inheritance for us. We don't even know what that is. We think it's the American dream. We trying to get voting rights. No, we're gonna get our inheritance. How about that? Everybody should get their inheritance back, right? What belongs to them. The excellency of Jacob, whom Yah loved. And he still loves. He still loves Jacob. That's who we are. Elohim has gone up with a shout Oh, you don't want Yah to start shouting. Yah with the sound of the trumpet. Remember when we was at Sinai and we asked to speak to Yah?
We didn't want no more part of that.
The trumpets got louder and louder. Yah's voice got louder. And they ran. And all he was doing was speaking. He wasn't shouting, was he?
No.
Wait till he starts shouting out. He said, Elohim is going up with a shout.
Yeah. He sounded
like a trumpet.
The whole earth going to be running around in the ball of confusion.
Oh, yeah. And they say that they're hearing these strange sounds worldwide. They don't know where they're coming from. They're going to find out where they're coming from. Soon enough.
Exactly.
Sing praises unto Elohim. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Like I said, he probably had 1,000 songs. He's talking about sing praises to Yah. He probably had 1,000 songs. Because all he wanted to do was sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Even though he's the King, right? He's talking about sing praises to our King. You calling me King, but Yah is the King. For Elohim
right.
is the King of all
right.
the earth.
He knew who the real King was.
Yes. He knew where his bread was buttered. Sing praises with understanding. Don't just be out there singing them foolish songs. You got to sing with understanding. Why? Because we got a message in our music and that vibration, people in their soul. That's why they call us soul people, right?
Right.
So if we singing the wrong vibrations, it's going to affect your soul wrong. And that's what we see with the garbage music that lacks understanding. Because you're singing about yourself, you're singing about materialistic things that you ain't really got. That's unrealistic. Materialistic things that's unrealistic. The lifestyle that you're trying to portray. It ain't about family, it's about you partying and womanizing our sisters, right?
Exactly.
King David says, sing praises to Yah with understanding. Sing praises, for Yah is the King of all the earth. Elohim reigns over the heathen. Yeah, these nations that think they're greater than God, he reigns over them too. He controls them too. They can't get past him. Elohim sits upon the throne of his holiness. So we think that little temple that King Solomon built with the Ark of the Covenant is God's throne. No. The Most High sitting on his throne right now.
Right. That was just for our nation. That's all.
Right. He didn't ask for that temple to be built, did he?
Right.
David wanted that temple built for him.
Exactly.
He said, I ain't asked for this, but I'm going to build you a house, King David. I'm going to establish your house. You want to build my house? I'm going to build your house.
Right.
You ain't have to worry about me because that tent was good enough for me.
I had no problem with it.
That's right. So we know where Yah sits. He sits upon the throne. He rules the earth. He says the princes of the people are gathered together, one world order, even the people of the Elohim of Abraham. That's us. For the shields of the earth belong to Elohim. What shields? Do we know what shields Yah talking about? Oh, that's that place of refuge that we're supposed to be under.
Exactly.
Elohim, he is greatly exalted. No man. He exalted the creator of heaven and earth, who is king over all the earth, who says what? He chooses our inheritance for us. He's gone up with a shout. He's going to shout with the trumpet. We're supposed to be singing praise to him, not no man, for he's the king of the earth. We're supposed to be singing praise with understanding because the Most High rules over everything, even these nations that think they're superpower. He reigns over them too.
You better believe it.
Yep. So submit, humble yourself, acknowledge Yah, and like King David said, sing praises for the life that the Most High has given us. It's a blessing to witness the wonder and the power and the might every day that you have the breath of life, how the Most High creates the air and the atmosphere and the sun and the moon and people and everything that you're standing on. Yah created it. Give thanks. Hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah, God, Jim. How are you?
Eye opening.
What's that, God, Jim?
I said a short but sweet song, but very eye-opening.
Certainly. Very eye-opening. And I have to concur with Cartrell. It's good to be back after that one day extended weekend. Cartrell, do you have any closing remarks, my dear brother and friend, before we skedaddle out of here?
I just want to bless the name of Yah, give glory to his name. I wish I could sing like King David, write songs like King David. But I'm content, you know, to sing the songs that King David read.
That's right.
I can't sing them in Hebrew, but I can find out. And maybe you can put some tunes to it.
One of these days.
Yeah, we're going to sing these songs how they're supposed to be sung.
Yeah, when he cleans it up and everything, we go through that fire one of these days.
And all of his songs have understanding in it. He says, sing, he praises with understanding. And that's what we're trying to gain from reading King David's songs.
Exactly.
Understanding. Yes.
All right. Cartrell, fellow students, thank you for joining with Cartrell and me to deconstruct and reconstruct and reverse engineer the relationship with Yah of our founding fathers, especially with King Yahweh in this study session and King Solomon, and relationships and so on and so forth with strangers, different nations, and with one another. And certainly that's what it's all about. What did Cartrell say? Not only praise with understanding. And we have to get an understanding. And Cartrell said something most importantly, because the music that we're putting out here is a bunch of garbage. I'm going to tell the truth about it. And Cartrell said something that made an impact upon me, and I hope it made an impact upon you. It's about singing with understanding, message in the music. And did you understand the message in the music? The King Dog was trying to get across for you to understand. Go back over that beautiful song and look for the message in the music, okay? As Cartrell alluded to. Well, all praises to Yah, and bless Cartrell, bless Abiyah, bless you, fellow students, and bless Yah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, the King over all nations, whether they like him or not. He's the King over all nations, whether they admit it or not. Unlike King Hiram, some don't. Make it be known, you're going to have to. You're going to have to bow down for him. And that's just the way it is. The heavens, the earth, the firmament, what's in the earth, the mountains, the trees, what's under the seas and water, all had to bow down. Oh, it's true. That being said, Cartrell and I, we don't know much. But we do know this for certainty. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. A show is Cartrell and I said designed to help you understand the relationships with Yah. How a constructive relationship works for you positively. And how a non-constructive relationship with Yah have a negative impact upon you. And also that would apply to each other. Understanding your historical understanding of oneself. And how to improve upon relationship, because we have no relationship, so to speak of. We have arrangements. We don't have relationships, not in the sense that we had back then. We just simply have we arranged to do things together. We arranged to be married. We arranged to have friendships. We arranged to even get together sometime, but we don't have true relationships, not in the connotation of what King Solomon wrote about in the book of Proverbs. Those were kind of relationships. It's a strange thing between a man and a woman, meaning everybody else is supposed to stay out them folk business. It ain't your business. As long as he ain't beating on her, cheating on her, as long as she ain't beating on him and cheating, stay out them folk business. See, because we understood relationship. King Solomon understood what friendship was about. He wrote about it. Be a friend. In order to get a friend, you got to show yourself friendly. They understood the importance of relationships. And also, just to position that, the importance of relationships, as King Solomon expressed in his last chapter of having constructive and positive relationships with nations that want to have constructive and positive interaction with you. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, we love you. May the Most High bless you. And as I said, and as Katria and I tried to implore you, always at the end of these shows, get you a new heart and a new spirit, brothers and sisters. It will help facilitate that relationship with y'all. It will help facilitate that relationship with one another. It will help facilitate their relationship with different nations. They have a new heart and ask for it. If King David asked for it, why don't you ask for one? It'll work for you. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.